Welcome to the Peak RFP podcast. Luke and Caleb are back with you today, and we've got a good episode, Caleb, I'm excited about. So welcome in. Good to see you.
Yeah, thanks. I'm excited about this too.
Yeah, so we're talking today about this question of, is more better? This really applies to, for sure, all of our surgical folks, but then even the folks that haven't had surgery, and we're treating back pain or neck pain or shoulder pain or foot pain. What am I talking about when I say is more better?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is dosage. Mm. Right? Like, we as physical therapists, we're not prescribing medicine pharmaceutically.
Right.
But we're prescribing movement.
Right.
As medicine. And so when we talk about is more better, we're really talking about dosage.
Yeah.
How do we dose this correctly for the amount that you need?
Right. Yeah. You know, we see lots of surgical things. And of course, we've done podcasts on knee replacements, knee scopes, shoulder replacements, rotator cuff repairs. And this is super important because sometimes patients come in and they feel like, like we've talked about before, man, this is going to be high dosage, high pain, high stress. And good medicine in that therapeutic exercise terminology, good medicine is going to have you moving and feeling better, you know, when we're done. Not, I'm just going to give you a whole bunch of things to do, and regardless of how your tissue is and how you're feeling and what time frame this you know, body part in front of me that I'm working on, this knee joint, it is from surgery. So dosage will vary from 2 days post-op to 3 months post-op, right?
That's right. And I mean, just to play out this analogy a little bit more, you know, like, let's say you had a surgery. You know, some people do really well on narcotics.
Mm-hmm.
Others, it makes them loopy. It makes them nauseous. It makes them constipated.
Right.
You know, and then you say, oh, well, you know, if you're having all these adverse reactions, you know, let's talk to your doc about changing the dosage.
Right.
So, right, people are going to have varying responses to exercise. And our job as clinicians is really to be honed in on the patient in front of us. That's why we talk about continuity of care. And what we mean by that is, you know, your therapist here at Peak is working with you visit to visit, assessing and listening and examining, because we are trying to tailor what your body is telling us and what you're telling us it wants most. Yep. And that's going to vary.
Yeah. You know, we do a lot of the same things. So, you know, as meaning if I'm working with a knee replacement, you know, there's exercises that I do, you know, with folks that are similar from person to person. What will vary is how much we apply that certain exercise to this knee, because this knee is more swollen than that knee, right? Or this quad muscle isn't firing and that one's firing fine. And so that this is what we want to do as therapists, is finding out what each kind of patient needs in that, you know, surgical area, and dose that and back off the other side. We really do want to be fine tuning that on a weekly basis, on a every treatment basis.
That's right. And so dosaging, I would think, or I break this down kind of two ways. We have our orthopedic needs, mm-hmm, and considerations, mm-hmm, and our systemic needs and considerations.
Okay.
So what might be some factors for you as a clinician, non-orthopedically,
yeah,
you know, that you would say, hey, this is going to affect how I dose my patient? I got some ideas. Obviously, yeah, I'm curious, yeah, what you would say.
Well, the easy one that I'm going to steal from you would be somebody who is diabetic. Right. So a systemic condition that's going to affect how I dose exercise would be a patient with diabetes. What we know is this is a small vessel disease. There's going to be a different circulatory component to it. And so the tissue may heal slower. So what I'm going to do as a clinician is I'm going to adjust how much intensity I'm bringing to that tissue until I feel really good about how it's healed. So, you know, classically, someone who's had a rotator cuff repair and they're a diabetic, I'm just going to progress that a little bit slower, making sure I'm really keeping a good eye on not generating a lot of torque through this area, because it may have, and it may not, but it may have a little bit of an inhibited healing process. Takes right. a little bit longer. So I'm going to adjust for that.
And if it does, then you don't overdo it and you right. see that, and then you dose appropriately.
Right.
And if it doesn't, then you say, hey, I can turn this up.
Right.
And just to take that a step further, that's why clinicians ask, hey, what was your last hemoglobin A1C?
Right.
Because if you're 5.5 or 6.2 or 6.4, that's different than 7.5 or 8.0 or 9.0.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
that's telling of us. What are some other systemic things you might consider?
Well, you know, it depends on patients. If they have, let's say, a rheumatological disorder, right? So if they've gotten an inflammatory arthritic component, that's going to, maybe their response to our exercise is a little bit more aggressive, meaning, boy, I'm going to, you know, they're going to really feel it if I'm just putting my head down and cranking into some things. And so we're going to just make sure that we're doing gentle but consistent exercises, so we're not going to generate a big inflammatory response, or as little as possible, because they already have a kind of a systemic inflammatory component that, you know, that they just came in the door with.
That's right. Those would be kind of two what we might call comorbidity-based
right.
Systemic factors, you know, sugar level, inflammatory level, whether it's diabetes or rheumatology. Psychological concerns.
Right.
Demographically, I think, you know, age
sure.
is a piece of this. You know,
sure.
Just let's say you had spine surgery. Spine surgery at 45 and spine surgery at 75.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Yeah.
We should dose that differently.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
How about orthopedically?
So for me, orthopedically, it's about, you know, what is the surgical procedure and what's our time frame post-operatively? So, you know, we know what happens in a knee replacement. We're going to do some bone work in there. And I know that that's going to start to feel better around 5 to 6 weeks, because we talk about bone healing and some of these things. I also know it's really not going to feel good in these first 3 weeks. So the ability to dose a little less early. Now, we always emphasize range of motion, but what I don't emphasize in the first 3 weeks with someone who's had some bone trauma is, hey, I really want you walking, walking, walking. No, that's wrong. What I want you doing, because I know that you have this big orthopedic weight-bearing bone procedure, I want you to walk a little. That's super important for sure. But I want you to get off your feet more and work on this very important range of motion, swelling reduction, pain reduction, so that you can get all the soft tissue and these various things around this bony system feeling better. And then we transition and we start to do more weight-bearing activities yeah. as that stuff heals.
Yeah, and so what we're really talking about here today is more better. And the early weeks of post-operative care for our surgical patients, which obviously, you know, we're touching on some things that are non-surgical too, is more better. That's when we're really applying this truth.
Right.
No, maybe not.
Right.
There is a natural healing process that needs to take place. We talked about this on other podcasts. Time is a four-letter word.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot expedite time. And truthfully, we struggle with this in kind of the instant gratification culture, other things that we've touched on. So yes, we have to be careful of understanding the surgical considerations orthopedically. Another orthopedic example that comes to mind when I think about is more better. I don't know how I want to say that. I'll come back to it.
Okay.
You got something
okay.
else?
Well, you know, I think with our rotator cuff repairs, right? So again, just knowing, you know, and we have discussion with our surgeons about, let's, you know, what was the health of this tissue when you found it in there and repaired it? Big tear, little tear, you know, that type of thing. Like, how much am I going to load it? And that depends on how far are they out from surgery, what was the fixation like, and so that matters to how much we're doing, you know, certain exercise, and even how many repetitions we do. So sometimes I want you to work on your pulley for some passive shoulder range of motion, okay? But that doesn't mean that I want you to do your pulley for 25 minutes and get 1,000 cyclic repetitions through your shoulder, because I don't want that many repetitions through this tendon fixation and repair, you know. So a little bit, or rather the right amount, is what I want.
Yeah.
Right? More is not better here.
And bless you for being smarter than me, because that's what I wanted to talk about. You know, it was that idea of not every surgery is the same.
Right.
You know, especially with things like cuff repairs, where you could have a 2-centimeter tear or a 5-centimeter tear.
Right.
You could have a debridement on top of that. You could have a decompression on top of that. You could have a bicep sternotomy on top of that. So, you know, you want to be working with your clinician. Yeah. So there's some orthopedic things there as well as to why and how we dose.
And I want my patients to ask me this question. Like, is more better for what I've got? You know, I've got an ankle surgery. I've got a spine surgery. Because that just lends us to then really looking at, you know, how they're set up. Both, you know, system-wise, right? How healthy are they? How fit are they? And then orthopedic-wise, what's their, how far are they out from surgery? What their goals are. So this is a great question for patients to talk about. How about, let's talk about when more is better. Is it ever better? And it is. But what might that look like if we say, okay, what we need to do here is more. What do you think about when I say that?
Yeah, well, I think I was drifting towards kind of some practical application of what we're talking about, and I think I'll use that as an answer to what you're asking, which is, listen, what is the goal of our dosage? A positive reassessment.
Yeah, very
good.
This
is what we're doing as clinicians. We're always assessing, reassessing. Reassessing what? The things that aggravate you. Pain intensity, pain frequency, functional tasks, right? And so when we say, hey, we're dosing you this way so that you have a positive reassessment. So for our surgical examples, listen, we want you to work through these exercises with us, get up, move around, and say, hey, I'm glad I did that.
Right.
That's a positive reassessment.
Right.
That's how we dose that. And so we got to be really understanding of the practical application of, I feel better when I do X, Y, and Z. Well, great. We should do X, Y, and Z. Right. I feel worse when I do A, B, and C. We're going to press pause or proceed with caution. Another application point of that is irritability. If I have low irritability, you know, I do something, it bothers me a little bit, then I feel better, we continue. If I have high irritability, I do something, it makes me mad, my leg or my shoulder or my back barks at me, we back off. So how do I know that I'm underdosing? And maybe would want to apply that question you had of how do we know that more is better when we're not really seeing the results of positive reassessment, but we're not seeing the negative results of high irritability, right?
So we're not having more pain, we're not having more swelling, but we're also not improving in our range of motion, right?
Plateauing.
That's right.
Or functional pause.
Yeah.
Or we need to see more progression.
Yes. We're not seeing that quad muscle turn back on. We're not seeing that shoulder range of motion, you know, keep improving. We're seeing it stuck, right? It's not moving. It's not getting better. We keep exercising or whatever level we're doing, and it's not improving.
That's right. And so here's a perfect clinical example of this scenario, you know, because we clinicians, we're not perfect, right? So I had a gentleman who came in, first visit, non-surgical, chronic low back pain, right? 9 out of 10 pain, high irritability, getting up and out of bed, just terribly painful. Hadn't done a whole lot of exercise leading up to this appointment. I dosed what? Low.
Right.
Let's turn some muscles on. Let's loosen some tissue up. Let's talk about, you know, do you need a short-term muscle relaxer with your primary care doc? Because this seems like a spasm-like movement.
Yeah, this irritability is high.
And I gave him some simpler things with the education point of, hey, we are dosing low to see your response.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thought I was being a good clinician. Comes back. That did nothing.
Yeah.
My doc said no to the Flexeril or the muscle relaxer, whatever he asked for, and I'm not feeling better.
Right.
And okay, how often are you doing your exercises? Every day. When I was in cardiac rehab, this felt good. Do you have anything like that? I sure do.
Yeah.
More functional progression. We did some leg pressing and some deadlifting, you know, things that on initial intake I would have not considered.
Right.
Left feeling a little better.
Yeah.
Changed his home program, right? That was an underdosing
right.
on my part.
Right.
Patient comes back and says, hey, I don't like it. I need to hear that, recognize it, and say, okay, let's speed
yeah.
it up. So
yeah.
he's a good real-life yeah. example in the past week in my own practice.
Yeah.
Hey, I need more in this scenario.
Yeah, you know, again, this is why it's important that patients know what the goal is. You know, if we're working on a shoulder in that rotator cuff repair realm, they need to know from me that I want their range of motion to be weakly, steadily improving. And if it's not, for them to say, hey, my range of motion is not improving. I mean, talk about a way to have a great outcome is to have that really good input put back from your patient. You give them something to work on. They go work on it. They know what they should expect. They come back to you and say, this is great, working on time. I'm not improving, or I'm not improving. It kind of seems the same. My pain is okay. Okay, well, we need to dose you up a little bit more. So, you know, again, the big thing that we're really talking about is more better is this therapist reassessing you. Again, maybe not out loud with you, but every time you come into our clinic and I'm working with you, I'm reassessing your knee. Is it less swollen than last time? Is your knee bending better? Is your knee straightening better? Is your quad muscle better? Is your shoulder range of motion improving? You know, so we should be reassessing all the time. That patient input as well is really critical.
That's
and
right.
that will help you to have the best outcome you can have, that kind of communication.
Right. And, you know, as we're wrapping this up, you know, this is a little more of a philosophical podcast, and we're kind of bouncing joint to joint, surgery, non-surgery. So what are your quick hits? So reassessment in clinician practice.
Yeah.
What are the goals?
Right.
Proper expectations and understanding.
Yep.
Irritability. You know, these are the things that we're talking about for dosing well.
Right.
We want to dose well.
Correct.
We want you all as patients to see that, know that, and then be able to work on that to gain that independence. That's what we're preaching and discussing, yeah?
Absolutely.
Great.
Awesome. Thanks, Caleb.
Yep.